I want to speak to you today from the Word of God about a very important Christian duty, a Christian practice that is vital for a healthy and a happy Christian life. An important duty that can save you from a lot of hurt, that can save you from suffering some bad falls, from damaging sins. I mean the important duty of self-examination, the need for every Christian to regularly search themselves, to honestly look at your heart, your life, your habits, and to ask, am I really walking with God the way that I should be? Am I really a Christian born of God? If I am, does my life show it? Christian self-examination is about taking a long, hard, honest look in the mirror to test your faith and your walk. Like a soldier in the army having a physical, or a professional athlete doing time trials, or a patient who's recovering from illness examined by a doctor in a much greater way, in a spiritual way. As a Christian, you must examine and test your life. Are you Christ's? Are you serving him faithfully? Well, I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 26 and to verse 21 and onwards in particular. During the Last Supper, the Lord warned the disciples, one of you will betray me. One of you is going to hand me over to my enemies. And of course, when they hear that, the disciples are all upset. They're devastated. And they all ask, Lord, is it I? Is it me? And they were, in a sense, forced to take a long, hard, honest look at themselves. Am I the one that's gone wrong? And so, of course, these are serious questions to ask. These are painful things. Self-examination is not easy. It's not comfortable. We might not like some of the answers that we find. But think about Simon Peter, for example, in a hypothetical way. If you look ahead to verse 33, Peter swears adamantly to the Lord, look, even if everybody else fails you, not me, I'll never leave you. I'm with you to the end, Jesus. And he has this tragic, this mistaken self-confidence, thinking he's better than others, better than he was. Sin, the devil, temptation, they'll never get me. Now, hypothetically, how much heartache could Peter have avoided? All the pain and the tears of his three denials, and then his repentance. If he'd really listened to the Lord, if he'd humbled himself, taken a hard look in the mirror, and recognized he was much weaker than he thought he was, that he needed more grace. And if we can practice healthy self-examination, hopefully it'll prevent many foolish falls into sin. It'll help us to humbly walk closely with God, depending on him, and save us from lots of grief. So there's three things that I want to try and share with you. First is the duty of Christian self-examination, that it's a good, helpful, spiritual practice for a Christian. But then secondly, to address the dangers in self-examination. It's something that we can easily get wrong as a Christian. And you can end up harming your faith instead of strengthening it. There are dangers. And then third, brothers and sisters, I hope to offer some direction. How to examine your life and your faith in a healthy way. In a way that will strengthen your faith and your confidence, your assurance. So the duty, the dangers, the direction of self-examination. And so first, I just want us to be clear that this is a duty that the Bible commands us to practice. And there's many places in the scripture that we could go to, but perhaps most obviously, you know the words of the Lord in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? You know what the Lord is saying. Don't be a hypocrite. It's easy to see the faults of others. Make sure you've had a hard look at yourself first. Look at your own life. Deal with your own sin. It's so different to the world's way, isn't it? The world's way is to deny that you've done anything wrong. If you have been caught doing something wrong, to then justify it and try and excuse it. But you don't apologize and say, in a very honest way, I've just got this wrong. How different the way of Christ is to just humbly accept there's something wrong with me. I think of the words in Psalm 139 that we pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way within me. Or another example, in 2 Corinthians to a troubled church, Paul's final instruction to them at the end of his second letter in chapter 13 is, he says, examine yourselves, scrutinize yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Are you Christians? He says. You see, it's a duty we're commanded, but Paul's words there in particular tell us that we need to examine the very foundations of our faith. Am I a Christian who knows, who loves, who obeys Jesus Christ? Am I born again? Am I a person of the Spirit? I once had a friend who, their house started to develop large cracks in the walls, first in the plaster and then in the brickwork. But then after examination, it turned out the real problem wasn't the walls at all, but the foundations underneath. They hadn't been set and laid properly in the first place, and so they'd failed, and now there was going to be subsidence. Now, sometimes there are problems in a professing Christian's life, and there's cracks. You can see what it is, but it's actually, there needs to be a deeper examination, because something was wrong from the beginning. The foundations weren't right. Maybe they weren't truly born again. Maybe they were raised in a Christian home and kind of assumed the faith. Maybe they were emotionally moved in a service, but there was no understanding, no heart conviction. Maybe they've been badly taught that it's just an easy thing. You just come forward, say a prayer, but they were never told about faith and repentance. You can see what Paul's saying, though, is you've got to make sure that the foundations are right. And so, of course, self-examination is a vital part of becoming a Christian. I mean, this is the heart of being converted to God in the first place. The Lord opens your eyes to see in a new way, yeah, I really am a sinner. I really have got life wrong in the most important way possible, that I've sinned against God. I've got a creator and a judge that I'm not right with. And before God heals and gives you the hope and comfort of the gospel, he first wounds and he humbles a Christian. He convicts you. You see the ugly truth. Your conscience is all stirred up and can be quite painful. You look in the mirror and you see it, you feel it. I've sinned. There's something wrong with me. And often the deeper that wound is at conversion, the more thorough that self-examination, the better that Christian then proves to be. The clearer their knowledge of their guilt, the more faithful and grateful they tend to be as a Christian. Because they see how amazing that God would love me in all my ugliness. But if there's no self-examination, there's no sorrow for sin, I think it's extremely doubtful that there's any conversion at all. That the Christian life begins with self-examination, with a spirit of humility. Is it I, Lord? Have I really understood the gospel? And then, of course, it's an ongoing duty in the Christian life, because the battle with sin is ongoing. And every true Christian learns from God this awful truth that the flesh still dwells in you. The old fallen nature is still lingering around like a bad smell you can't get rid of, like an unwanted house guest that won't leave. And he's always trying at work to damage your Christian life. And we're capable. We're capable of falling and sinning in terrible ways. We all are. And when the devil tempts you and he's trying to get that fire going, he finds in us a lot of combustible material that's just ready to go up. Scriptures warn us not to be self-deceived. A bit like Simon Peter, you know, we can think we're better than we are. Not me. Oh, I'd never do that. I'm much better than them. We're a fool if we think that. So because we know there's that corruption close by. Self-examination is like you're putting up a guard. You're putting up a watch to look at your heart. You're hopefully learning to depend on God to resist sin. And of course, it's a good way then to hopefully cultivate humility towards other people. You can't be quick to find fault in others, to think the worst of others, if you face up to the sinfulness that's in your own heart. But positively, the real goal in self-examination is to strengthen your assurance, Christian. It's to give you confidence. Because when you can see, honestly, God is at work in my life. And there's ups and downs, and I'm very imperfect, but I can see evidence of the Spirit's work, a fruit from faith. We can see that, and that's a tremendous help to have peace, confidence you're saved. And it should ultimately lead us, of course, to praise God, to rejoice in Him, because we give Him all the glory, all the credit for anything that's good in us. If we're defeating certain sins, if we're doing a good work, if we have been changed, well, then we thank the Savior and we rejoice in what He's doing in us. We give Him all the glory. So I hope under this first point, it's just to simply be clear and convince you this is a good and important duty as a Christian. But then what is particularly on my heart for you, brethren, is our second point, that there are dangers in self-examination. There are dangers that we could do it in a harmful and an unhealthy way. If I could put it this way, there are pits and there are ditches on either side of the narrow way. On the one side, there's the danger that we could go too far and fall into a ditch of self-absorption, even despair and unbelief. And that it's possible to be so harsh on yourself, so despairing, it's really more like a kind of depression. If we're always looking inward, worrying about where we stand, that isn't healthy, and that isn't what the Bible means. God wants you to rejoice in His salvation. If you're just spiritually beating yourself up all the time about your sins, till you think there's no hope, how could God ever love me? That's not biblical self-examination. That's the devil having a go at you. The devil loves to take us to extremes. The Lord says we should examine ourselves so that we'll go to Him for help in overcoming our sins, so that we'll stay close to Him. But the devil wants to take it so far you feel defeated and you despair and you say, it's no good. I'm so sinful. It's hopeless. Now, the honest truth is we're all different. And some of us are going to be more prone to being perfectionists or to having a sensitive conscience. And that probably makes it more likely we'll be too introspective. And if self-examination becomes a morbid introspection, so that we're not resting on Christ, we're not trusting His grace, we never have peace, it's gone wrong. It could be a bit like a patient who becomes a hypochondriac. you know, wanting to test their temperature every 2 minutes, worried that every little ache means that they're dying of some terrible illness. And that can spoil your walk with the Lord. He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to have peace as his child, to rejoice in salvation. And when it goes too far, it can really be really just a bit of unbelief. A failure to believe the gospel, to rest in Christ's finished work. And if you know yourself, brothers and sisters, if you tend to lean this way, that's something to watch out for, to know about yourself. Thomas Chalmers was a really blessed Scottish preacher from the past, and he once said, the danger in self-examination is it ends up being like a man sitting in a dark room full of objects he cannot see. And there's no light, there's no hope, no gospel, no hope that you'll ever change or that God has forgiven you. And he said, so Christian, what you need to do if you're sitting in that dark room is pull back the curtains and let the light of Christ in. The glorious good news is Jesus came to save sinners. If you know that you're a sinner and you mourn for it, hallelujah, you're the one he's come for. And yes, we are terrible sinners, but there's no one so bad. Jesus cannot save them. We're saved by grace, not how good we are. Now, the better balance is in those, I think, in the words, the well-known words of John Newton. I am not what I ought to be. We feel that, don't we? I'm not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, as long as we're in this world, we are a work in progress. And it's healthy. You need to have a realistic view of the Christian life. We are being changed. One day we'll be free of sin. And you should strive and want to be the holiest Christian you can. But it's also true. We're all still sinners. We fall short. We've got many failings and weaknesses. Now, we don't have too low a view of the Christian life, but also don't set it too high. We're in Christ's hospital. The good physician is healing us, but the full ultimate cure won't come until you enter his kingdom. But he's here to work with sinners, not perfect people. And your Lord is full of sympathy and compassion. And so just be careful. You're not beating yourself up more than he would. You're not always going to be on the mountaintop. There's valleys and there's battles. We've got to pass through them. And you know, a more realistic description of the Christian life is that a lot of real holiness consists of longing. Longing for glory. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what it's like being a Christian. You're hungry and you're thirsty for real righteousness in your life and in the world. You're blessed are the poor in spirit, because we know we haven't got there yet. Let me share with you something else that I think John Newton said that I think is really wise. He said, what you complain of in yourself comprises the best marks of grace I know. A sense of unworthiness and weakness, joined with a hope in the Savior, constitutes the character of a Christian in this world. Be as much humbled as you please, but do not expect to be an angel while you are in the body. Depend on it, if you walk closely with God for 40 years, you will, at the end of that time, have a much lower opinion of yourself than you have now. Isn't that helpful, wonderful? He's saying, look, if you see your sins, you long to be better. That's one of the best signs. You are Christ's. And the closer that you draw to Jesus, the more you walk with him, and the more of him you know, the more light you'll have to see your sin. And think of yourself. But you'll marvel all the more that he still loves you. That he loves you and has loved you from the beginning. Or let me put it this way, brothers and sisters, because I hope I'm not belaboring this, but I fear that, you know, sometimes some of us fall into that hard, dark place. Let me put it this way. Christ has many different flowers and plants in his garden. Some have just been planted. They're small and they're fragile and they don't have much fruit to show yet. And they're going to need time. The gardener's attention. Now some, after many years of hard labor, sometimes being dug up and covered in manure and then dug up again, and they've finally come to be in full bloom. And they're bearing fruit and they're colorful and they smell wonderful. And then there are some who are mighty oaks. They've been through many storms. And the shade protects the more delicate flowers. There are new Christians and there are experienced Christians. There are Christians of all types and shades and varieties with different gifts and circumstances and at different stages. The important thing is all these plants have life. Whether it's at the newborn stage or at full flower, the important thing is they're all alive. They're alive in Christ. It's not have we reached the goal yet, but are you growing? So please don't fall into the ditch of despair in self-examination. But then on the other hand, a little bit more briefly, there's danger on the other side of a superficial self-examination. The danger of not taking it seriously. Of not taking a hard look at your heart. Because of course we're not talking about just your outward actions, are we? We need to look at our thoughts, our desires. There's always going to be a certain kind of person who can give a glib confession of sin. But it hasn't penetrated below the surface. The real Christian wants to please Christ in every part of their life. And a key difference is that the Christian learns to be specific. To deal with specific sins, specific parts of their life. It's dead easy to say, I'm a sinner, in a vague, broad way. It's a lot harder to go, yeah, I've sinned in this particular way, with my foul words or my lust in my imaginations. But that's what you've got to try and do in self-examination. You know, one of the greatest American preachers was Jonathan Edwards in the 18th century. And he wrote down 76 questions that he asked himself regularly. You can find them online if you want to look at them. But they were specific and serious, soul-searching questions. Wow, how did he have the time? But let me give you some examples. He would say, are my motives in examining myself correct? Am I distracted during church and allow my mind to wander? And he was the preacher. Do I pay my debts on time? Do I indulge sinful anger? Do I give attention to my family or do they annoy me? Do I allow myself to shade the truth or exaggerate it? See how specific he was being. 76 of these questions. Now, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not saying you should go home this afternoon and draw a list of questions like that. But it shows how rigorously Christians once practiced self-examination. So may God give us the grace to get the balance right. And so the third thing, brothers and sisters, is, well, how then should you practice self-examination in a healthy way? What direction can I try and give to so it helpfully increases your faith? Well, I hope the healthy direction is this. Learn to look in the mirror of the law, then look away to Christ your Savior. look in the mirror of the law, then look away to Christ. And both parts are essential. So in the passage that you heard in James chapter 1, verse 25, the scripture speaks about the man who looks into the perfect law of liberty. And the comparison is like looking in a mirror. And of course, by law of liberty, James means God's law, the commandments. And that keeping them brings true freedom and liberty. They're not burdensome. Christ's yoke is easy. His burden is light. But he says, looking at the law like a mirror means comparing your life to the standards given in the law. Now this is a key point. You've got to have the right standard that you're trying to hold yourself to. And God has given us in the scriptures very clear rules. The law, holy and good commandments. They're the measure. They're the standard. See, you mustn't take your cue from the world and its values. Whatever society says is right and wrong. It'll get some things right, it'll get some things wrong. You're not to compare yourself to other people. That's a big trap. We all fall into that. No, you must measure yourself by what God says in his law. And so very practically, you can meditate upon, you can apply the law of God to yourself. Take the Ten Commandments, which is the summary of what God wants from us. Read them. Pray over them. Ponder them. You shall have no other God but me. Are you loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? It's always first about your relationship with him. Do you worship him? Do you pray to him? Honor the Sabbath day. Do I keep to public worship? Do I avoid worldly distractions on the Lord's day? Am I using my time to honor God and then trusting him to provide all I need? Honor your mother and father. Am I caring for my family? Am I leading them in the faith? Do I care for my parents? Do I honor those who are in authority over me, whether that's in the home or at work or the civil sphere or the church? Do not bear false witness. Am I speaking in a way that's loving and gracious and true? Are there certain things that I should be saying, but I'm not? Do not covet. Am I learning to be content in God? Am I being patient in suffering? Am I faithful with whatever he's given me? Or am I peeved and grumpy when I don't get what I want? You see how the commandments are like a mirror? You can hold them up and look in them, and you can take a long, hard, honest look at yourself. Am I going forward in the Christian life? And with that, I think it's helpful to have set times to examine yourselves, to be intentional about it. If you say you're always doing it, the truth is you're probably never doing it. And it's striking, isn't it, that the self-searching you see in the disciples in the scripture is at the Lord's Supper. This took place at the first of the Lord's Supper. And before they come and receive the bread and wine. Now, you don't need to turn there now, but in 1 Corinthians 11, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper, he says, actually, this is an important part of the Lord's Supper every time we take it. Let a man first examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so, each time we come to the Lord's Supper, that's the set time. That's a good time God's given us to take that time to examine where we are. But then, crucially, we mustn't stop here. Because the truth is that whenever we hold ourselves to God's law, we're going to see in that mirror how badly we fall short. And even if we can give thanks because we see places where God's at work, by the holy standards of the law, even on our best days, we're not there. So what you must do, brothers and sisters, is also learn to look away to Christ, to run to Christ. The law and the commandments are there to drive you to run to the Savior. That you look at yourself and all your failures as a Christian, so that you then cry out to the Lord Jesus from the heart. And you rest and you receive Him as the complete Savior. We are not here for just morality and a do this as Christians. Our relationship with God depends on Jesus and His grace. Always, every day of our lives. Our justification, which is being right with God, being forgiven and righteous in His eyes, is a free gift given to us through simple faith in Jesus. And that's not just when you first become a Christian, that's every day. The law's going to show you your failures, but Jesus is your peace. Because all those sins are atoned for at the cross. And He's your representative in heaven. Every time you know that condemnation, you must run and shelter again in Christ. Hide me in your side, Savior. Let your cross be the thing that's dealt with all my sins. And you must do both in self-examination. And your sanctification, that ongoing change of growing as a Christian, that too comes from looking to Jesus. The law and the commandments do not have the power to change you. They show you the standard, but the power comes from the Savior. We're not here because of self-improvement and self-effort. It's the Holy Spirit that changes our hearts. He writes the law in our hearts. Love, joy, self-control, patience, righteousness are the fruits of the Spirit. And so it's both. Every time you see you're falling short, know that Jesus isn't stood there frustrated and waiting to condemn and to push you away. No, no, He stands ready with His arms open for you to run to Him for help and for grace. Not come to condemn, but to save, He says. And so you must run to Him and say, Lord, help me. Grant me your Spirit. I depend on you and your grace for all of these things. And He is there to help us. I once heard someone put it this way. The law is like the railroad tracks that are before you. That's the path to follow. But the power to drive the train, the heat, the electricity, that only comes from the engine of the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to try and keep the commandments in your own strength, that heavy train goes nowhere. But if you're resting on the Savior, you're looking to His promise, your mind is on the Spirit, you'll fly forward in a life pleasing to God. So, brothers and sisters, I hope you'll avoid falling into the ditch of either despair or presumption. But you will examine yourself. Take that long, hard, honest look in the mirror of the law. And that you'll always be looking to the Savior. And may the Lord help us to practice healthy self-examination and to be growing in godliness.